Okay, today is November 10th, 2014. Okay, so this is the intermediate Pali class. We do one time homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Okay, so now we're doing lesson 8. We'll start with the grammar section on page 113. Okay, so this grammar section begins with the masculine nouns ending in the short I. So we've already gone through this in the Pali primer. So basically, you just have to become familiar with the declension. And particularly, you should recognize for the genitive dative that the common ending is agi, in the suttas, is agino. And I think for the plural, aginang with the long I is more common. Occasionally, I think in verse one might see the short I because sometimes a syllable has to be shortened for the sake of the meter. Okay, then the instrumental, actually, I think the instrumental will always be agina, singular. And the, I don't know why they divided it this way, the ablative will be agimha, that's the older form. Then the more Sanskritized form would be agisma. And then the locative, again, the older form will be agimhi, but also when we'll see agismin. Then from the plural, again, you can have either agi or agayo. And I told you genitive dative, most common with the long I, aginang. Instrumental ablative, the most common would be agihi. Agibi is more poetic form. Then the locative, more common, I think, will be agisu with the long I. But I think for meter, in verse, you might get agisu with the short I to preserve the meter. So this you just become familiar with. Of course, if you can memorize, so much the better. But at least learn to recognize, if not memorize. Any questions on this? Okay, then we have third person imperative. So this, we have the singular form ending in tu, the plural form untu. And this, the note points out 2.2. Third person forms are commonly used in direct address when speaking to somebody respectfully. Like, for example, the monks won't say to the Buddha, teach the Dhamma. Because that sort of direct address is considered impolite. So the polite form is, in speaking to the Buddha, would be, let the Blessed One, Bhagava Dhammang De Setu, let the Blessed One speak the Dhamma. It's not that somebody is preventing the Buddha from speaking, like somebody is keeping the Buddha locked up in his kuti, and that you're saying to him, let the Blessed One come out and speak the Dhamma. But rather, it's a polite way of asking the Buddha to speak the Dhamma. and also other polite requests are made in that way. And also, turning the page to 114, also this imperative form is used. This is called, I think, the benedictive. It means giving a blessing. Like we say, bhavat, when we do the chanting, we do bhavatu sabba mangalam. Let all blessings be with you. Let there be all blessings. Bhavatu sabba mangalam, rakkantu sabba devata. Sabba devata is all the deities. Rakkantu is let them protect. Yeah, we were delayed for about 20 minutes with a
waiting for you.
No. I got lost.
Oh,
I
lost?
I got off the wrong message. And I've been wondering.
You have to watch.
You say, where am I?
Okay. So in sort of benedictions, Bhavatu Sabha Mangalang Rakantu Sabha Devata. Sabha Buddhanu Bhavena Sada Soti Bhavantu Te. Sada Soti Bhavantu Te. May there be for you all kinds of safety. So it's expressing a wish, a kind of benevolent wish.
It seems like the imperative in Pali has a much more gentle sense than it does in Hindi Western languages.
Well, this is the third person imperative. You see, normally when we use the word imperative, we would think of second person, like wash the dishes, mop the floor, you know, giving an instruction, or get the temple set up for the ceremony, you know, like giving a, that's like the real imperative, giving a command or instructions. But making the imperative is used in the third person to make a polite request. And it's also used in the first person when somebody is sort of giving instructions to themselves, or like making a decision or determination. Like, let me go to, somebody is thinking, let me go to New York City today. You know, it's like saying, I'm making up my mind to go to New York. So they're thinking like that. It doesn't mean that, like the abbot is saying, you can't go to New York today. And then you're saying, let me go to New York. But when it's sort of like speaking to oneself or thinking to oneself, when it's giving this instruction. And also when somebody is speaking to a group, making a group suggestion, like let us, like I'm speaking to a group of people, I say, let us go to New York today. So that would be the first person plural. Mayang Jintian, Mayang, Aja Mayang. New York Nagarang Gachantu. Gachama, let us go to New York today. Any questions about this? Okay, if anybody has studied the philosophy of Hegel, you might have heard the expression, the Hegelian absolute. If you studied the German philosopher Fichte, he has an absolute. If you've studied Advaita Vedanta philosophy, they sometimes speak about the absolute. But now we are coming to something called the locative absolute. It's not a metaphysical reality, but it's a rule of grammar, or it's a construction, a grammatical construction. I've explained that. I don't know if I've explained in this class, but we've come across it in the Friday class several times. First, I'll read the instruction here, or the explanation here. Then I'll see if this is clear. If not, I'll explain it in my own way. Let the cap remain on the pen. Okay, let's look at the book. An absolute construction expresses an action which is prior to or simultaneous with that of the main verb, but which has a different subject, unlike the gerund or present participle. In Pali, one absolute construction is formed by using a present or past participle in the locative case. If the subject is expressed, it will also be in the locative, but objects, instruments will be in their usual cases. The past participle expresses a prior action, and the present participle expresses a simultaneous action. Did everybody understand that? Does it sound like the Greek absolute? Okay, let me find a simple way to explain this. In English, when we want to state a sentence in which there are two different subjects, one subject is doing one action, the main subject is doing another action. Okay, so let us say, okay, when this happens, we usually use the word while or when. So we say, while Jason was fixing the computer, I was looking at the book, right? Yeah. So here the main part of a sentence, I was looking at the book. That's the main clause. The secondary clause says, what is happening while I am looking at the book? While Jason was fixing the computer, I was looking at the book. So we use the word while to show two actions going on at the same time. Well, John was speaking on the telephone, Sally was washing the dishes, right? So the main part of the subject, we call this the main clause, Sally was washing the dishes. The subordinate clause or secondary clause has a different subject. So there's two people, John and Sally. So Sally is the main subject. Sally is washing the dishes or was washing the dishes. At the same time, John is speaking on the telephone. So we say, while John was speaking on the telephone, Sally was washing the dishes. I'm choosing examples. I don't know how to say this in Pali. Okay. Now, in Pali, if we wanted to say this, we would put, while John was speaking on the telephone, this would become a locative absolute. We don't have a word like while or when, but instead, John comes as in the locative and speaking, the present participle is used in the locative case. Let's see if we have some examples here. they just give, see, they don't give a full sentence, they just give statements in the locative. Let me see if I can get a good... What is that?
When?
No, that's just a phrase.
Just the first part. They don't have. They don't continue and put in the power. It's when achieve final liberation. It's the work that I have done.
Okay, I'll just think of one.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, if you focus the camera on this. Oh, we had. Oh, we do have this. I could have typed it.
Yeah, that's better. Then I share the screen. That makes it easier. Yeah, the locative absolute is very important because it's the way to show two actions occurring at the same time. Looks like I get some. Better to get an example directly from a sutta. Okay, so this is from part of the formula for dependent origination. This is a bit abstract. Okay, so we have two parts. Let's take this out. We don't need this. Two parts to the sentence. We have jatiya ko. Ko is just a little emphatic. We could take it out. Jatiya sati jara maranang hoti. So the main part of a sentence, the main clause is there is this. There is old age and death, or old age and death come to be. So we call this the main clause, and then this is the locative absolute. You see, this is in the locative case. Sati here is not sati meaning mindfulness, but this is, we have the verb ati, which is based on the root sat. And so this will give the present participle will be in the nominative is santo. That's nominative singular. Santo, santang. That's the accusative. Instrumental is satta. I think instrumental and ablative are satta, genitive, dative, satto, and the locative is sati. So this means while it exists. So this means, and jatiya is the locative for jati, meaning birth. So this means when birth exists, aging and death come to be. And then that's repeated for all of the others. For example, okay, so from this statement, tanhaya ko sati upadanang hoti, what is the main clause? Main clause? Right, upadanang hoti. And then secondary clause, the locative absolute, tanhaya ko sati. And the ko is just, don't need it. So tanhaya sati, when there is craving, upadanang hoti, clinging comes to be. See if I could find some more interesting examples. Be patient, I'm searching. Oh, good. tell me.
No, it's an Duracell book. It's a...
in Duracell?
Yeah. Here, the example, one of the examples is Tesu Lakate, Vivadan Tesu, Bodhisattva Jintesi.
Tell me the paragraph. Paragraph number? Yeah.
Oh.
There should be paragraph numbers by the side.
No. You mean?
That's a paragraph number.
Two.
Two in Roman
numerals. 603.
Okay, 603, I see. I see the locket of absolute there. Okay. Gavesu Doiha Manasu, is that it? Oh, I see. Okay, this is a good example. Let me put it bigger so everybody can see clearly. I think this is a locked. Tesu. Tesu. Bodhisattva Chintesi.
Yes.
Okay, so here we have the locket of absolute. So you see, tesu viva dantesu. The verb vivaditi means to quarrel. To dispute. So then, what is the ordinary nominative singular present participle of this? Vivadantu. Vivadantu. That means he is disputing. He is quarreling. But usually two people are quarreling, not one. So we'd have the plural form. Nominative plural, vivadanta. They are disputing. Those who are quarreling, those who are disputing. Then the locative, vivadantesu, vivadantesu, while they are disputing. That's what we have here. Tesu, vivadantesu, while they are quarreling. And then we have bodhisatto, that's the bodhisattva, chintesi, thought, reflected. Then it will tell what he was thinking. Okay, so with the locative absolute construction, there are two actions going on at the same time. The main action usually will have the subject in the nominative case, and it takes a regular verb. In the subordinate clause, the subject comes in the locative case, and then the word describing the action being performed by the subject will be also in the locative case. In that word that describes the action, if the action is occurring at the same time as the action of the main subject, the present participle is used. If the subject in the secondary clause completes the action before the main action takes place, then the action in the secondary clause is described by the past participle. I should have collected some examples of this. Let's go back to okay, here's a good example using the past participle. We'll make up a sentence using this. Okay, the word Surya means sun, the sun. And Atangate means set. You know, the sun sets. Okay, so this is a past participle. So it says, when the sun had set, that's the locative absolute, then we have the main clause, manusa dhamma savanaya viharang gachingsu. The people, then what case is this? Dhamma savanaya? Why do you say not data?
Is it not data?
What?
Is it data?
You're saying it is data.
It seems like it should be data.
Yeah, it's data. It means literally for hearing the Dhamma. To hear the Dhamma. Viharang, the monastery, Gachingsu, went. So when the sun had set, the people went to the monastery for listening to the Dhamma, for hearing the Dhamma. But let's say, I'm not using the accents, since it's too much trouble to find them. But it's not necessary, just, okay. Okay, here, bhikkhusu bhutesu bhagava tesam dhammang desesi. So, of course, bhikkhu is monks, bhutesu. This is the past participle of the verb bhunjati, which means to eat. It's too much trouble to find the accents. But it has a wiggle on the top. Like that. So bhunjati means to eat. Past participle is bhuta, eaten. And so this is locative plural because it's describing bhikkhusu. Bhikkhusu is plural form. So when the monks had eaten, then bhagava tesang dhammang desesi, the Blessed One taught the Dhamma to them. Okay, don't worry too much about this. I'll point them out as we come across locative absolutes. Let's see what else it says. Okay, some of the examples, they give very simple examples here. Evang sante. You see, here the subject isn't mentioned. It's a little bit like in English when we say it's raining. You know, it doesn't mean anything. So evang sante is that being so, that being the case. Purise agachante, when the man was coming. Evang vute, when such was said, These are sort of stark phrases that come often in the suttas. And parinibbute bhagavati, that should be an easy one to find, when the Blessed One had attained nirvana. Okay, here's a good example. This is from the Parinibbana Sutta. Okay, we just take it here. Parinibbute bhagavati. So, you see, bhagavati is the locative singular for Bhagava, the Blessed One. And parinibbute is the past participle of the verb meaning to attain Nibbana. Well, we could say simply to pass away, for an enlightened one passing away. So this is the past participle, and both are in the locative case. But in English, we would translate, when the Blessed One had passed away, or when the Blessed One had attained nirvana, then saha parinibbana, together with his passing away, Sakko Devanamindo, this is Sakka, the king, ruler of the gods, Imangatam Abhasi, he spoke this verse. Or here, Parinibbute bhagavati, again, when the Blessed One had passed away, yete tatabhiku avitaraga apekache baha pagoiha kandanti. Okay, that's enough. Okay. When the Blessed One had passed away, those monks there who were not freed from passion, some, waving their arms or moving their arms around, wept. China patang patanti. They fell onto the ground and they rolled around. They turned around and rolled around, crying out that too soon has the Blessed One passed away, and so on. So you can see the use of the locative absolute here. Okay, let us go on. Okay, we come to 4 are forms of the verb vach. Now, this is an interesting point. The root vach means to speak, but in Pali, the normal regular verb that would be formed from that root in the present tense isn't used. So it's been replaced by another verb, similar verb, vadati. So we don't find the form vachati, meaning one speaks. But if somebody is speaking, one finds either vadati or sometimes, often, basati. When somebody speaks, So Bhagava, you could say Bhagava Bhasati, the Blessed One, speaks. But we don't find Bhagava Vachati. But forms based on the root Vach occur especially to form the aorist. So here the table will give the aorist forms, and the dominant form is the one with O, singular avochung, first person avochung, second person avocha, third person avocha, and the plural, most common, avochumha, second person avochuta, and third person avochum. And the passive form based on vach is very common. This is vuchati, which means it is said or it is called. And also the present, actually the past participle is very common. Vutang, it was said. And the present participle, vuchamana, it was being said. Okay, any questions on this? Everybody has such grim expressions on their face. Don't think, oh, it's so difficult. It seems difficult in the abstract, but once you get familiar with the forms, you'll get accustomed to them. So smile.
The good news is that this next section, it seems like, has occurred already in the book, exactly. Number 5.
With the explanation of just the forms?
Yeah, I see it on page 84 and 85.
Yeah, we've had these forms before. So this is a kind of address that is used. It's somehow it's based on the verb bhavati, which means to be. But it comes to be used as a polite way of speaking about somebody eminent or addressing somebody eminent. So it's a little bit like, it's not the same as venerable, used to refer to a monk, but it's like maybe to say the honorable, or they speak about Bhavang Gotamo, the honorable. This is the way the Brahmins speak about the Buddha. They call him Bhavang Gotamo. That would be the nominative form. The honorable, or the eminent Gotama, or the accusative, Bhavantang Gotamang. Again, the eminent Gotama. And then when the Brahmins speak to the Buddha, they call him Bo Gotama, that's the vocative form, Bo. So that is something like Sir Gotama. Yeah.
Why is venerable not really the translation?
I mean, one could use venerable, but it's a different word from the word which is translated venerable in relation to the name of a monk is the word ayasma.
Oh, I see.
That is. So, for example, I'll speak about Ayasma Sariputto, or Ayasma Anando, let's do Mahakasapo. I don't have to get that long, eh? So Mahakasapo, that would be the form, the word venerable used in relation to a monk. Okay, maybe enough grammar for today. Yeah.
Can I just, I need some grammar clarification?
Yeah.
When do we use the present participle and when do we use the past participle?
In the locative absolute?
Yeah.
Okay. In the when the locative absolute is used, when the action in the locative absolute is occurring at the same time as the action performed by the main subject, then the locative absolute action is indicated by the present participle. These are actually important rules, I would say, to write these down. So I think we have them. Well, actually, the book itself explains the past participle expresses a prior action and the present participle expresses a simultaneous one. Okay, so when the action in the secondary clause is occurring at the same time as the action in the primary clause, then the present participle occurs in the locative to describe the secondary action. When the action in the secondary clause is completed before the action in the primary clause occurs, then the action in the secondary clause is indicated by the past participle in the locative case. To take the okay, these are examples. Let's just take the contrast. This is an important point, so let me indicate simply the contrast. Okay, here, we'll call the sentence one and sentence two. In sentence one, we have tesu vivadantesu bodhisatto chintesi. Well, let me just change the sentence to make it a little more interesting. You see a long U that, oh, here it is. Okay, this makes it more contemporary with the life of the Buddha. Okay, while those monks were disputing, quarreling, the Blessed One departed. You know, the Buddha got fed up trying to bring the monks together, but the monks went on departing. So the monks are still disputing, and then the Buddha leaves while the monks are disputing. But let's make this sentence too, so we have a similar subject. Oh, it gives me number three. Okay, we call this number three. Oops. Okay, in this sentence, number three, we have Bhikkhusu Bhutesu Bhagava Tesang Dhammang Desesi. So here, the monks finish eating first. The Buddha doesn't speak, teach the Dhamma to them while they're eating. But here, when the monks had eaten, they finished eating. Bhagava Tesang Dhammang Desesi. The Blessed One taught the Dhamma to them. So you see, first they finish, then after they've washed their bowls, put everything away, then they come out to the Dharma hall, and then the Buddha teaches the Dhamma. So here we have past participle. Locative past participle. Whereas in this sentence, the two things are going on at the same time. The monks are quarreling and the Buddha leaves. And so even though it's describing something that took place in the past, but in the past, both actions took place at the same time. Ting de dong? Ting de dong? Maybe Venerable Sagarananda could, because it's a tricky getting tenses and times, especially Chinese, it's pretty simple in treatment of time.
在我们现在在这边讲是这个所谓的叫做 Locative Absolute， 那它有两个用法，就是说它的主要的事件发生， 比如说在第一个例子里面，那个邦德用的是当佛陀离，当这些出家人在争论的时候，佛陀在那个时候就是争论的同时离开了。那第三个句子就是说， 他这个事情就是说这个比丘吃完了以后，佛陀开始去开始听佛陀讲法，所以在第二个例子里面，因为他这个动作已经是在过去完成了，所以他要用到是这个 past participle， 就是过去的这个时，
过去当时。
painting.
Sorry, one more question.
Yeah.
For the number one sentence, viva dan tesu,
yeah,
it's present participle, but would you still translate it as while the monks were arguing, or would you say while the monks argued?
Well, since it's referring to, this is a matter of English, since it's referring to something that took place in the past, then I would say while the monks were arguing,
okay,
the Buddha left. Let's see. While, but I think you could also say while the monks argue. Could you say that? Does it sound?
That sounds awkward to me, but it seems to somehow represent the present participle better. But that's what's kind of
while the monks
about.
Argue.
Yeah.
But you see, this is the present. Though the present participle is used, it's referring to something that took place in the past. But the monks arguing is going on at the same time that the Buddha left. So one uses the present participle to describe it.
Okay. Yeah.
I think while they were quarreling or arguing,
yeah,
makes it clearer.
Yeah.
Because the whole action of the sentence is happening in the past.
Okay.
But it was going
but it's
on.
Bad. It was going on. So
it
like,
was on,
well, they
going
were
on
quarreling.
At that time.
Well, Bhante is,
yeah,
with teaching without writing.
Wait.
Pakami.
Pakami?
Yes, I cannot. What's the word pakami?
It is.
Pakami is a. That's the right word.
It's the aorist form of pakamati, which means to depart, to leave.
Pakamati.
Yeah. Okay, suppose the situation changes. Okay, tesu bhikkhusu upasantesu bhagava pachagami. Pachagami means to return. And upasanta means peaceful, but it could refer to stopping arguing, so they become friendly again, so the arguments settle down. And so here, upasantesu is past participle. So tesu bhikkhusu upasantesu. So when the monks became peaceful, you see, because that happens first, then the Buddha finds out that the monks have become peaceful, they've stopped arguing. So bhagava pachagami. So the Blessed One returned. See, it's quite logical, though it's a little tricky. Shall we look at some reading, a little reading? You want to take a little break?
Is Kim okay with the explanation?
Kim, are you okay with this explanation?
Yes, but does this also apply with the gerund, the same principle?
No, because the gerund...
No.
Is used when one subject is performing a series of actions. It's the same with the gerund, it's the same subject.
Okay.
But the locative
absolute. Do we also use the present participle as well as past participle with the gerund?
Mm-hmm. The gerund is one form. Past participle is another. Present participle, another. Let's just go by the sentences that we come across.
Okay. Thank you, Bhante.
Do you want to take a little 5-minute break?
Yes.
Let's see how many seats are filled after the break.
While the students are taking the break.
Break.
Yeah.
The teacher ran away.
No.
5 minutes.
While the students were taking a break, the teacher locked the door.
Right. Yeah, right.
That was a present.
Is
it present participle? While they were taking break.
While the students were taking a break.
Yeah.
Yeah. The main action, the teacher locked the door.
Right.
And the
so the present participle.
It's like the quarrel.
After the break is finished,
right.
When the students return, then there's no more need.
Right.
Should we try it?
I think part of it.